This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1982.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus.
Well, hi yourself, cousins, and hi everyone listening. You're just in time for another happy time visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour. We have another visit packed to the brim with lots of good things. One fellow wrote recently to say he liked our broadcast because we keep things moving, and that's just what we're going to have to do today to get it all in. Oh, the story today is an exciting one, too. It's called The Trouble with Termites. Have you ever had termites at your house? Have you ever seen a termite? Ugly-looking little creatures, and they can really eat up anything made out of wood in a big hurry. A few years ago, the wooden floor under our control room where Mr. Nelson sits with all the tape recorders and mixers and switches and everything else needed to record this program and bring it to you, well, the whole floor became infested with termites. We didn't notice it at first, but pretty soon we felt the floor getting weaker and weaker. Boy, if we hadn't done anything about it, one day Mr. Nelson and all our equipment would have dropped right through the floor. Well, anyway, you're probably wondering, what kind of lesson is Uncle Charlie going to get out of a bunch of termites chomping away? You'll just have to stick around until story time to find out. Right now, let's get to singing, okay? You're singing on your way, aren't you, cousins?
Singing on my way to heaven, singing while I'm here below, singing in the sunshine, singing in the shadow, singing of the Lord I know. When the days are filled with blessing, when the way seems hard and slow, every day I'm singing, praises ever bringing, singing for I love.
Not only are our cousins singing, they're walking as well. Say, tell us, who are you walking with, cousins?
Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name, walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name.
You know something? As our cousins are singing on their way to heaven and walking with the King, they'd like to have you join them too. Right, cousins?
If you'll take my Jesus while He's passing by, if you'll take my Jesus, He'll sure satisfy. If you'll take my Jesus, He'll hear your heart's cry. If you'll take my Jesus today, He's passing by. If you'll take my Jesus, He'll sure satisfy. If you'll take my Jesus, He'll hear your heart's cry. If you'll take my Jesus today.
Yes, indeed, boys and girls, this is our invitation to you. We're so happy to know Christ as our Savior that we want you to know Him too. Not just so that you will have a home in heaven someday, but because all through life He wants to be with you, to help you, to love you, and give you real life. As 7-year-old Lisa says it in her song, "In Him was life." This song is taken right from the Scriptures. Listen.
He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, in Him was life.
Now, it's true that when we trust Christ as Savior, He does give us new life. We are born again. But you know how we prove that we have trusted Him as Savior? Do you know how we show that we have faith in Christ? By our actions. Hey, it's one thing to say we're Christians. It's another thing to act like it. 5-year-old Mary Beth has such a good scripture and song package ready. Her scripture is from James chapter 2, and her song says, "Put your faith into action."
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Put your faith in action, wear a great big smile. Put your faith in action, wear a great big smile. The world will see, the world will know. The love that's in your heart will bubble up and overflow. Put your faith in action, wear a great big smile. Put your faith in action, give a helping hand. Put your faith in action, give a helping hand. The world will see, the world will know. The love that's in your heart will bubble up and overflow. Put your faith in action, give a helping hand.
Now, one of the ways we can put our faith into action is by saying no when we're tempted by the devil or by other friends to do what is wrong. I want to share a little bit of a good letter I got from a gal named Valerie in Wisconsin. This is what she wrote. "I enjoy your program very much, Uncle Charlie. I have friends who swear, drink, and smoke. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act around them. I don't want to be too close to them, but I always want to call one of them that I grew up with since fourth grade, and now I'm in the seventh grade. So I just want to call her and play with her, watch her bowl, stuff like that. I just want to be around her. But yet, I'm glad when my mom says no to my questions like, can she spend the night? Can I go to her house? Can I go to the park with her?" and so forth. I'm confused, very confused. Can you write back and help me? Well, first of all, Valerie can be thankful that she has a Christian mom who dares to say no to her. And you know, it's kind of interesting that Valerie is glad when her mom says no, sort of takes the burden off of Valerie's shoulders. Boys and girls, if you have parents who love you enough to say no when you want to do something that they feel is wrong, be thankful. Don't complain. Secondly, Valerie needs to learn that we do have to be careful of those we choose for close friends. Sometimes we have to stand alone as Christians. Sometimes we have to go without friends because there aren't the right kind to have around. Tim and Melinda, a brother and sister team from our cousins' choir, are singing a song for us that tells us how we ought to respond when we're tempted to do wrong. Oh, the song has such good advice. Let's listen.
My ears are made to hear and my eyes are made to see. My lips are made to speak, it is true. But Jesus gave them all their pathways to my soul. I want to keep them pure, wouldn't you? So I'll hear no evil, speak no evil, think no evil thought. My heart belongs to Jesus, with His blood I am bought. I'll hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, think. I'll use my ears and eyes for Him, my lips His praises sing. The Lord gave all for me when He died upon the cross. He loved me with an everlasting love. He lives within my heart, He prays for me each day. I'll trust Him and obey, wouldn't you? So I'll
hear no evil, speak no evil, think no evil thought. My heart belongs to Jesus, with his blood I am bought. I'll hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil thing. I'll use my ears and eyes for him, my lips his praises sing.
With the words of that good song and Valerie's letter in mind, let's take time to pray together, okay?
Pray for me when you talk to the Lord above. When you pray, remember me in your prayer.
Lord, we realize that there are lots of fellows and gals like Valerie around who are confused, who are tempted to do things that are wrong, and there's no sin in being tempted. It's when we give in to the temptation that it's wrong. So we pray that the boys and girls listening might know that you are there to help them when they're tempted. And we pray, Lord, that they might be brave enough to say no to friends and to neighbors who invite them to do things that are not right. We thank you for all of our listening friends. We think of the many letters that have come in this past week sharing problems and prayer requests. We pray that you would meet each of those needs. Thank you for this time together with our friends everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Here come our Melody 3, Peter, Kim, and Jan, to sing a beautiful song, In Pleasant Places.
In pleasant places, Jesus leads me, like a shepherd so gentle and kind. In pleasant places, by still waters, oh, what pleasure and blessing I find. Sweet it is to follow the Savior, sweet to have him close by my side. Carefully the pathway he chooses, he is such a wonderful places, Jesus leads me, like a shepherd so gentle and kind. In pleasant places, by still waters, oh, what pleasure and blessing I find. Oh, what pleasure and blessing.
Well, you know something? It's just about time for the termites to crawl out of the woodwork and give us trouble. Now, if you've joined our program late, you're probably wondering what in the world we're talking about. Well, our story is called The Trouble with Termites. And just before that good story, Darren sings a Go Along with a Story chorus.
It's a new heart that you need. It's a new heart, yes, indeed. Can't fix up the outside, must get at the inside. It's a new heart that you need. Turn to Jesus right away, he will make you new today. Can't fix up the outside, must get at the inside. It's a new heart that you need.
Don't go away, kids. It's story time.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Sherry Kite, is entitled The Trouble with Termites. Eddie Weaver lived in a small town, and he always enjoyed stopping by the hobby shop after school, especially since Mr. Barnes, who owned the store, was one of his favorite friends.
Hi, Mr. Barnes.
Oh, hi there, Eddie. Hey, I thought I might see you in here this afternoon.
What's going on next door? I heard a lot of pounding and sawing when I went by.
Oh, the owners found out last week that there are termites under their building. They're going to have to replace the whole floor. Huh, I'm afraid it'll be quite expensive.
Oh, that's too bad. Hey, have you got those new model planes in yet?
Yep, they're right here. Hey, come take a look. I was just unpacking them.
What kind is this plane?
Let's see here. Oh, that's a Messerschmitt. Not too many of those around.
I'll take it. How much is it? I've only got $2.
I'm afraid it costs more than that, Eddie. I'll tell you what, though. You did such a good job sweeping up for me yesterday, I'll let you have that one for nothing. You can test it and tell me if it's any good, okay?
Thanks a lot, Mr. Barnes. Are you sure it's okay? I mean, I wouldn't want you to think I just hang around so I can get stuff from you.
No, I don't feel that way at all, Eddie. You know, since your dad died, I've thought of you as, well, the son I never had. I hope you'll always feel free to come and visit whenever you get the chance. That is, if your mother doesn't mind.
Oh, she doesn't care, as long as I'm with you.
Well, that's great. Hey, I just thought of something, Eddie. Our church is having a special presentation tonight by a man who used to be a colonel in the Air Force. If you're not doing anything, maybe you'd like to go with me to hear him.
Oh, I'd like to, Mr. Barnes, but I've got softball practice.
Well, maybe we can make it another time then. Perhaps to church some Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I'd better go. Mom's probably got supper ready. Thanks again for the plane.
Softball practice lasted longer than Eddie had expected, and it was already dark when he started walking home. As he approached the hobby shop, he saw two older boys crouching in front of the door. Taking a closer look, he was surprised to recognize them as two boys from his school.
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
None of your business, Weaver.
Yeah, go home and tell your mother she wants you.
But Mr. Burns just painted that door. And you're wrecking it with that chisel.
Aw, isn't that a shame?
Listen, kid, we're not doing nothing, see? Now get on out of here before you get hurt.
Here, here's something to help you out. Now go on home, okay? Forget you were here.
$10!
Now get out of here, go on.
And you better keep your mouth shut or you'll wish you had. Got that? Now get.
When Eddie read the paper the next day, he found out that the hobby shop had been broken into and thieves had stolen almost everything. He knew the boys had done it. But whenever he saw them at school, they glared at him, shook their fists, or muttered threats. Besides, he had accepted the $10, and he was afraid the police would say he was guilty too, so he said nothing. But he avoided Mr. Barnes.
Eddie, dear.
Yeah, Mom?
Are you still sitting there watching television?
Sure, nothing better to do.
Why don't you run over to the hobby shop? I know it doesn't have quite as big a selection as before the robbery, but there ought to be something there you'd be interested in.
I'm getting too old for that kind of thing.
Well, Mr. Barnes would be sorry to hear that. I know he misses having you around. He told me so when he came over last night.
Mr. Barnes came here?
I forgot to mention it when you came home from your softball game. He wondered if you might have heard anything at school that would help the police find the thieves.
Well, I don't know anything about it.
Eddie continued to stay away from the hobby shop. But the more he tried to forget the robbery, the more his conscience bothered him. His guilt kept eating away at him inside until he felt absolutely miserable. Late one night, Eddie lay in his bed, thinking to himself.
Oh, how did I ever get into this mess? I wish I could tell Mr. Barnes the truth, but then I'd probably get into trouble for lying and for taking the $10. If only I could just forget about it. I know, maybe if I started going to church and doing other good things, it'll help me not to feel so guilty. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll prove that I'm really not so bad after all.
Mm-hmm. In the weeks that followed, Eddie began attending the church on the corner near his home. He also made an effort to improve his grades at school. His mother and his teachers were proud of him, and he was quite proud of himself. But deep down, he still felt guilty about his part in the robbery. One day, as he was going to visit a friend who lived near the hobby shop, he heard someone calling his name.
Eddie! Say, Eddie, is that you?
Hi, Mr. Burns. I'm kind of in a hurry.
Well, come on over for just a minute.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's good to see you again, Eddie. You know, it's been weeks since you stopped by.
Well, I've been awful busy. I've had homework to do, and I've been spending a lot of time at church lately.
Well, your mother told me about that. What brought about this sudden interest in the things of the Lord?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, the shop looks really neat.
Thank you. I thought I might as well paint the whole front of the store, since I had to paint the door anyway where the thieves broke in.
Almost finished?
I've just got one more thing to take care of. Here, I'll show you. Down by the bottom of these wooden steps here.
You mean those crumbly old boards?
Yeah, that's right. You know what's inside these old boards?
Inside them? What?
Why, termites, Eddie.
Termites?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you said the building next door had termites.
Yep, and they're here, too. Oh, they're pesky little creatures. I'll dig into the wood with this old nail. Maybe we can... Yeah, there they are. See?
Oh, yuck! Look at those little whitish bugs. Where did they come from?
Oh, they probably have a nest underground and tunneled up into the wood in search of food.
They're eating the wood?
Yep.
But that means if you let them go long enough, they could ruin your store.
Oh, I'm not worried. Good coat of paint should take care of the problem.
Paint?
Mm-hmm, sure. I can paint right over that crumbly, termite-infested wood. Then it'll look all neat and clean.
But that doesn't make sense, Mr. Barnes.
Mm, it doesn't.
It'll look nice if you paint it, but those termites will still be there eating away at the wood until they wreck your whole porch and your store.
So, you don't think I should just paint over it then, huh?
No way. What you should do is rip out those old boards and build a whole new porch.
A whole new porch, huh?
Then you'll have to get some bug spray or something to keep the termites from coming back.
Well, you know, that's good advice, Eddie. Say, I wonder if that applies to hearts, too.
Huh? Hearts? Hearts don't get termites.
Oh, but they do. Termites I'm talking about are sins. Sins that hide inside someone's heart. No matter how that person tries to cover them up, by doing good works or by going to church, these termites of sin keep eating away, doing terrible damage to that person's life and soul.
These termites are sins?
Mm-hmm.
Like murder and stealing and lying too?
Yes, Eddie. Even lying.
Mr. Barnes,
mm-hmm.
I lied when I said I didn't know anything about the robbery. I was there, and I saw who did it.
I know, Eddie. And I've been waiting for you to come and tell me about it. I knew something was wrong by the way you've been avoiding me. Also, I found this on the sidewalk the morning after the robbery.
My mother's picture.
I know it wasn't there the night before, because I swept the walk before I left.
It must have fallen out of my wallet when I put that money in there. The $10 those boys gave me to keep quiet. Oh, I felt so awful inside, so guilty.
I know the feeling, Eddie. And trying to cover up your guilt won't work. No matter how many good things you do, they can't undo the bad things. In the Bible, the second chapter of James, we read that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all.
Well, what can I do?
Confess your sin to God, Eddie. Let Jesus give you a whole new heart. Ask him to be your Savior. You know, there's a wonderful promise in Proverbs 28:13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy.
Mr. Barnes, I'm tired of trying to cover up my sin. I want Jesus to give me a new heart.
That's wonderful, Eddie. We can go to the police station a little later, but let's go on inside and talk for a while now.
Hey, we've got a whole lot of catching up to do.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, he will save and make you whole. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. For he loves you and will satisfy your soul. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't cover up your sin. Just accept what Jesus offers. Come to Jesus, let him in. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, he will save and make you whole. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. For he loves you and will satisfy your soul. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now you're doubting, give on. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
That's our closing invitation to you. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, oh, I hope you'll do so right now. If you need help, why not write to me? I'm Uncle Charlie, and my mailing address is Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Our zip is 49501. And don't forget, we're here to help with any problem or prayer request you'd like to share. Or maybe you just like to write and let us know that you're standing behind us in this worldwide ministry to boys and girls. I hope that you'll be able to join us again soon when all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour will come your way again for a visit. Bye now.